Today's shiur is dedicated by Dr. Yosef and Mrs. Yael Gurevich in honor of their grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. Moshe Rubin. Today's shiur is for schus for refuah shleima, for shalom and bracha. Today's shiur is Masechet Ksubos daf pei vav, and we will begin on daf pei hei on the base, two lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara, Kariv Asad Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman's relative, Zavinta l'ksubasa, sold her ksuba while she was still married, for a very small amount of money. The buyer of this ksuba was not prepared to spend a significant amount on this ksuba because he was taking a risk, because the only time a woman is able to collect a ksuba is if her husband predeceases her or dies. And he did not know what will be. And says the Gemara Igrisha, she was divorced, and she passed away. And her daughter came to her father to collect the ksuba. Her daughter came to the father to collect the ksuba. Katava Asu, and the people who had bought this ksuba from her father, from her mother, came to say that they deserve the ksuba, for they had bought the ksuba from her. Also, katav lelabarte, they came and demanded the ksuba from the daughter, saying that your mother had sold us the ksuba. Amalu Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman says, leka de lizbala etza, is there anyone here that could give the daughter advice how she could avoid paying for the ksuba? So Rishonim asked the question, why did these lekuchas go after the daughter? Why didn't they go after the husband? So Rashi explains, because of that question, that what happened was that they heard that the daughter had asked for the ksuba, and they did not know if she had collected it or not, and therefore, not knowing exactly what happened, they went to her and asked her, if you collected the ksuba, you don't deserve the ksuba. And if she's going to tell them that I did not collect the ksuba, then indeed they will revert back to the husband. The Rosh has a different approach to this. And the Rosh says that what happened was the mother died, and once the father died, and then the mother died, and they came after, and therefore, since the father wasn't alive, that's why they were coming after her, because he wasn't here to come after, says the Gemara. So Rav Nachman wanted to come up with an eitzah, how that she could avoid having to pay the ksuba. Says the Gemara, Telech v'tizla l'ksubos d'im l'gabavua. What she should do is she should forgive her father the right, the obligation to pay the ksuba, the terrorist mina. And then, when her father died, or the way we just learned, actually her father had already died, so since her father already died, she now is her Yairish, and that's why she will be able to now get that money as a Yairish. Obviously, the way we're learning, she was obviously the only Yairish, because if she had brothers, she would not have been the Yairish. Shama, so the daughter heard this advice that Rav Nachman suggested, Oza Ichlata, and she actually did this advice. She was Meichel de Ksuba, and by being Meichel de Ksuba, she will end up getting this money. And then Rav Nachman was upset at himself. He was upset at himself because Asinu Atzmanu Ka'archa Diyonim. What we did here was, we were like people who give advice which is halachically unacceptable. And he was upset at himself for having acted this way, for giving advice which wasn't right, because the people pay for the ksuba. So first the Gemara asked, Mikar my ksover, or Lepsoif my ksover. The Gemara asks, what was Rav Nachman's thinking here? First he gave it its advice, and now he regrets giving the advice. Says the Gemara, Mikar ksover, originally his thinking was, the Torah says, this person was his relative, and the halach is that one has to try to help his relative as much as he can. But then he thought to himself, when a person such as Rav Nachman does something like this, it's improper. He says, even if the advice is halachically acceptable, as we're learning in our Gemara, it actually was very much halachically acceptable, he still felt that it's inappropriate that a person should act in such a manner. We're giving people halach advice, even if they're acceptable in halacha, they certainly violate the spirit of the law. Gufam Shmuel, and Shmuel goes back to what we discussed at the end of our previous year, how regarding somebody forgiving a shtar chayv, gufam Shmuel, hamaycha shtar chayv l'chaveroi, if somebody sells a shtar chayv to someone else, v'chazer umachloi, and then he forgives the loan that's in that shtar, the loch is machl, that he has the right to be machlet, as we quoted Rabbeinu Tam at the end of our previous shir, because every shtar comes with it, with a shibud on the financial obligation, and a shibud, a personal obligation. And even if you could sell the financial obligation, but you cannot sell the personal obligation. And since one cannot sell the personal obligation, he retains the right, therefore, to be meichel that obligation. Rafil Yarish Meichel, and says the Gemara, and he now says that halacha passes down to the Yarish. Amar Rav Huna Bar Rav Yehoshua, v'pikeichu, if the person who buys the obligation is smart and he wants to avoid any problem of losing the shtar that he bought, mekarkish le zuzei, he should jingle money, he should pay the loiva money, the kosvaloi, and what he should do is, he should write the shtar b'shmei, he should write over the shtar in the name of the person who bought it. What is accomplished by writing the shtar that way? So now the shtar is no longer in the name of the original loiva. The shtar is now in his name. Once it's a new shtar in his name, nobody can be meichel anymore. Of course, the Rishonim point out that there's a disadvantage in doing this, because as we often discuss, every time you write a shtar havah, the shtar havah comes with a shibud, comes with your assets being mortgaged. And the assets are mortgaged from the time of the loan. If we're going to write a new shtar, we're going to have to write a new shtar on today's date. And that will delay from when the mortgage on the assets begin. So the Rishonim point out that, of course, that's going to be the halacha. And the person who buys the shtar, the person who buys the shtar gets a discount on the shtar because of this delayed paying, because of delayed date. The Gemara now goes into the discussion of somebody bought a shtar chayv, and then, as we've been discussing, he didn't do what we just learned, and the malva has a right to be meichel the loan, and therefore he caused the buyer of the shtar a loss, because he bought the shtar, and now by the malva being meichel, he loses out. So the question is, we know that of course if somebody causes someone else damage, he's held responsible. The question is, will this person who was meichel the chayv be held responsible for what he did? So in order to understand this Gemara, we have to identify two different halachic concepts. There's a concept called Grumma ben Nezakin, and there's a concept called Garmi. Grumma ben Nezakin is when somebody caused somebody else's property to get damaged, but he did not do it directly. In other words, if somebody's animal is in a closed and fenced area, and somebody else breaks down that fence, and the animal runs away. So I did not do a direct damage. All I did was I broke down this fence, and that caused that the animal will run away and got killed or wounded. That's called a grumma ben nezakin. And the halacha is that somebody who does a grumma ben nezakin is chaya is potter b'dinei adam. Bezdin cannot extract punishment from him. He's chaya b'dinei shmayim. Minashmayim he's chaya for what he did. Whereas there's another concept, and that's the concept of garmi. Garmi has the number of examples. If somebody has loan documents, and I burn those loan documents, so now the malva cannot collect the money that he's owed because he doesn't have that document. Or there's a fence between two fields, and somebody broke down that fence, and by breaking down that fence, there are two types of different things growing from the two sides of the fence. And when you break down that fence, you caused that there should be klayim, that those things that grow get mixed together. And we know that halacha is that klayim are asur. Or a third example, if somebody shows a coin, in those days, currency wasn't assessed just by a dollar bill as a dollar bill. Currency was assessed by looking at the coin. And somebody received a coin in payment for money that was owed to him. And he gave it, and he showed it to the money changer. And the money changer said that the coin is a good coin. And afterwards, it was determined that the coin really didn't have value. Can I go back after this money changer and say, you caused me a loss? All of these three last examples that we gave are all examples of garmi. And there's a machloikis in Shas. What is the halacha by garmi? That grama, we said, everybody agrees, grama ben azokin is potter. But there's a question, how do we treat garmi? Rameya holds garmi your chayiv, and the chama hold that you're potter. And the halacha actually is like Rameya, that the halacha is like Rameya, that you chayiv by garmi. And we find in Shas, actually, that the Meroyim often debate if one has to pay for garmi or not. Before we go further, of course we have to explain why would garmi be treated different than grama. And the Rishonim explained that by grama, it's not for certain that there's going to be damage. And furthermore, when somebody did a grama ben azokin, he did not damage the actual item that got damaged. For example, when we spoke about a grama ben azokin, we spoke about somebody breaking down the fence in which somebody has his animal. In that case, it's not for certain that the animal that's in there will get hurt, because maybe the animal won't escape. And the fence is not what got broken. The issue here is not for payment of the fence. The issue here is for payment of the animal. And that's why it's called the grama ben azokin. In the case of garmi, however, the damage is for certain. And not only is the damage for certain, the damage is on the item that we're talking about. The example we gave, somebody burnt somebody else's loan documents. So the damage is certain. I burnt the documents, and the payment that's being asked for are for those documents. When somebody causes klayim, so I actually caused the actual klayim. The case of the money changer is I gave it to you to check this coin, and you said that the coin is good when it wasn't good. In all of these cases, it's much more of a, there's a much higher level of direct damage. And since there's a much higher level of direct damage, that's why I will be held responsible. Amar Amemer, man de don dina de gami, according to the opinions that we just cited, that holds that you are chayiv for gami, the halacha is magbe de shtar me'alya. If somebody went and was meichel the shtar that I bought, that I was meichel the obligation of the shtar that I bought, I caused you damage on the shtar, and therefore I'm going to have to pay back for the damage that I did to you. However, man, the loy don din in the gami, somebody who doesn't foul doesn't consider garmi as considered direct damage. So then, magvabei ner ma'alya, all that you have a right to collect from me is the value of the piece of paper, because the piece of paper has no value. So whatever that piece of paper is worth, that much I'm going to have to reimburse. Says the Gemara, there was once a situation where somebody sold a shtar choiv to someone else, and then the loiva was meichel the choiv, and this then Torah came to Rav Ashi, the kafir for Rafran or Rav Ashi. Rafran forced Rav Ashi that, based on what we just learned, that we followed Alokas Garmi, the Agvibei, and he forced the Lekeach to pay Kikishur Letzalmi. Just like when somebody buys beams, and he wants that the beams should be in perfect shape, and he pays extra to make sure that those beams are in such condition, here too, he had to pay penny for penny for what the loss that he caused. There are many times, of course, that we speak about Shas, that somebody owes somebody else money. If somebody borrowed money, the proper way of repaying is that he has to give payback with cash. He borrowed cash, he has to return cash. But if he doesn't have cash available, he could use any type of metaltlin to repay his loan. If he doesn't have any type of metatlin, then he pays with real estate. And as we often discuss, there are different grades of real estate. Zaburius is the lowest grade. Bainanus is the average. And Midius is the best. The Loch is about Choy pays with Bainanus. If somebody is obligated to pay a obligation because he did damage to someone else, the Loch is that he could pay with either with any type of metatlin. A mazik has to pay with metatlin. If he's going to pay with real estate, he pays with idjus, with the highest quality real estate. If somebody owes a ksuba, so as we've discussed many times, the halacha really is that a ksuba to a wife is only paid out of real estate. Metatlin are not obligated to a ksuba, but we've quoted many times that there's a takonis hagoinim, that metaltlin, that we do collect the ksuba from metaltlin. If and when somebody's paying the ksuba from real estate, you pay it from Zaburius. If somebody worked for someone else, paying an employee, the employer has to pay cash, and there's no other option, money, how he pays the obligation. And if he doesn't have cash money available, he has to sell. It becomes the employer's obligation to sell whatever assets he has in order to satisfy what he owes his employees. Says the Gemara, somebody who has two different obligations. He has an obligation to pay his wife's ksuba, and he has somebody that he owes money to. Visle ara, visle zuza. And he has cash available, and he has property available. Says the Gemara, what he should do is, lebalchoiv mesalkin le bezuzi, the balchoiv he should pay with the cash, or is lisha, and the wife, when he's paying her haksuba, mesalkin le ba'ara, he pays her with the real estate. Why? Says the Gemara, High kedinei. He's doing that. He's paying as the halacha requires. As we says, the woman really gets the obligation of a ksubas from real estate. The obligation for a loan is from the cash. Therefore, the halacha is the paid this way. Of course, says the Torah, that this halacha is only when the Baal Chayv wants the cash. But the Torah holds that if the Bechayv prefers property, we will give him the property. Because explains the Torah that the Gemara is actually teaching us is that the position of the Bechayv is stronger than the position of the woman collecting ksuba. The Ramah disagrees. The Ramah says that the halacha, as we said in our introductory remarks, is very clear who gets what. Since the halacha is very clear, we should follow the halacha. Hai kedinei v'hai kedinei. The most Rishonim, in order to explain this Gemara in the simplest fashion, explain that the due date for these two obligations are the same day. Because if they're not going to be the same day, there will be a new consideration. And that's going to be the first obligation needs to be settled first, says the Gemara. However, if this person only owns one piece of property, and there's only enough to pay one, and as we just discussed, the due date on both of them is the same, says the Gemara, we first pay off the balchayv, and we don't give the ksuba. My tama, women are anxious to get married. And since women are interested to get married, their position of not being able to collect the ksuba is much weaker. No, and as the Taisus points out in the name of Ren Tam, because Taisus asks a question, he says, we learned on Daf Pei Dal Ramad Aleph that there's a concept of Mshimchina, that the whole concept of Ksuba was instituted to encourage women to get married. And now we're learning that women, the Gemara says, don't really care that much. So Taisus says that of course women are anxious, Chino, women are only ready to get married if they know there's going to be a ksuba payment. Al Gemara, explains Tosfos, is speaking about a very unique situation. Al Gemara is speaking where we only have that much money to pay off. And because we only have that much money to pay off, we'd rather the concept of like Tinel Dels Bifnei Lovim, the concept that we don't want that the person who lent money will not get paid is a stronger consideration. This that you said in the name of Rava. If a loiva owes money to a malva, vislei ara, and he has property, and the malva now wants his payment for his loan, and the loiva tells him, you could take my piece of property for payment of this loan. You sell the property and bring the money to the malva, says the Gemara. And that's difficult because we said he could pay with property. He says, I never said that halacha. The halacha is that if the loiva can't pay property, if the loiva doesn't have cash to pay, he pays property. And says the Gemara, the halacha that he pays property is in a case that he gives the property to the malva, he doesn't have to be busy selling it. So he said, Loy, I never said it this way. So he says, Emily Gufadiv de Hechavi. So what happened? Omle, Tala Maisabav de Kacham Havi. The loiva said, he has money, but it's not. And his, he says, it belongs to Akum, and therefore he said, I can't pay you this money, it's not mine. And it turned out that he lied, and therefore he had to sell his property. Who asked Shloika Huygen by saying something untrue? So this person who had to pay off the loan with property, Lafikach Osabai Shloika Huygen, Bezdin treated him strictly and made him the loiva sell the property and not just rely on giving the property to the malva. The Gemara Masechta Erchin, Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, tells us that Bezdin does not force Yorshim who are ketanim to pay their father's debts. And the Gemara over there quotes a Machlokes Amoraim into why. Rav Huna Bar Yeshua says, because we need to be concerned that the father, before he passed away, paid off the debt, and now we have and we can't collect the money from the Yarshim, money that's not owed. Rapapa says the reason a debt has to be paid is because Prius Balchayv Mitzvah, paying off your debts is a mitzvah, and yesoimim ktanim are not obligated in mitzvahs. Amar Rav Kana Rav Papa, l'didach, that you explained that this obligation to pay off debts is based on the concept of priyas b'chayim mitzvah. And that is based on a pasuk in the Torah, where the Torah says, v'chin tzedek yilachem. What that means is, loim chazal teach us, what does that mean? A gemar m'sech t'bav mitzi, daf mem tes omar aleph, she'hin shalchot tzedek, v'lav shalchot tzedek. When you say something, if you take on obligation, you have to keep it. Omar, if the loiva says, loy nichle davi mitzvah, the chiv to pay off loans is because I have an obligation to do mitzvahs, I'm not interested in doing mitzvahs. May, can Bezdin force him to pay off the loan? Omar, so Papa said, Tanina, we learned this halach in a b'raisa. B'mad devar mamurim, when do we give malchus? Mitzvahs loisa say, if somebody's violated a mitzvah loisa say, Ava mitzvah say, when we talk about mitzvah say, Kigoyim, Sharmilai say, Sukkah ve'en oisa. We tell somebody make a sukkah and he refuses to make a sukkah. Or Lulav, take the dalaminim, ve'en oisa, and he doesn't take the dalaminim. Makan oisa achetetz in nefshay. And therefore, here too, somebody who refuses to pay off his loan is, Bezdin uses its initiative. Bezdin uses its initiative to force him to pay the loan. The Ktsois says that this obligation is not that anybody could take that obligation on the right to do this. The Ktsois says that only a Bezdin mumchem. I, there is a concept that achiach techiach es amisecha, that everybody has the obligation to make everybody else do mitzvahs. Explain the Ktsois, there's a difference. Our Gemara, says the Ktsois, just expressed itself in a very, very sharp way. Achetetze nafshoi, says the Ktsois. Achetetze nafshoi, only a Bezdin of Mumchim has a right to exercise. But the obligation of Haychacha doesn't go up to Achetetze nafshoi. The Nesivus disagrees. And the Nesivus says that this obligation that one should force somebody to do a mitzvah, to force him to do pay off his debts, is not something that's just limited to Bezdin. Everybody has the right to do so. So the Shas HaTshuvas Oyne Yontav asks a question. If a person is fulfilling a mitzvah only because I forced them to fulfill the mitzvah, so then, especially according to the opinion that holds, mitzvah tzrichas kavanah, that a mitzvah is only fulfilled if you wanted to fulfill the mitzvah, you had intention to fulfill the mitzvah. This person doesn't want to fulfill the mitzvah. If he's paying because he's being forced into paying. And he says, even according to the man d'amar, says the Shas HaTshuvas Oynig Yontif, Simen Kuf Nun Gimel, that holds mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, that to fulfill a mitzvah you don't have to have kavana. The halacha still is that if I specifically intend not to fulfill a mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah. So if this person has a mind that I don't want to fulfill the mitzvah, why is the halacha that we could force him? He's not anyway fulfilling a mitzvah. So he quotes the famous Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin, Perik Beis, Halacha Beis, that says that every Jew, every Jew really wants to do the right thing. And therefore here too, this person wants to fulfill the mitzvah. And since this person wants to fulfill the mitzvah of Prius Bal Chayv, the Yetzahara is getting in the way, preventing him from doing what he's supposed to do. And when we force him, his true self comes out. So there's a famous question from Reb Chaim Briska. Reb Chaim Briska says, if one is supposed to pay off his debts only because it's a mitzvah, and it's treated like a mitzvah. So as Reb Chaim Briska, the halacha is that when it comes to fulfill a mitzvah, ha-mevazbez, ha-yevazbez yoytzeh mechaymish. Somebody who's fulfilling a mitzvah doesn't need to spend more than 20%. So the question is, if somebody is paying off his debts, why would he have to, if the debt equals more than 20%, why would he have to pay off more than 20% of his assets. He's doing it to fulfill a mitzvah. And in fulfilling a mitzvah, you don't have to spend more than 20%. So the Maramshik answers that the halacha of Mevazbez Ayi Vazbez Yosef Mechaymish, says the Maramshik, was only said the mitzvahs ben Adam Lamakim. The halacha is that I'm not obligated to spend more than 20% for an esrig, for any mitzvah. But here, it's a mitzvah ben Adam L'chaveroi, where I have a relationship, I owe this person money. When it's a situation of owing someone else money, ben Adam L'chaveroi, there is no obligation, there's no 20% rule. Rav Chaim Brisker gives a different explanation. Rav Chaim Brisker explains the loch of Avim Vazbez, Ayi Vazbez, Yosef Mechaymish, is when the mitzvah doesn't mean, when the mitzvah doesn't involve paying money. In other words, when the mitzvah is, I need to buy an esrig. So the loch is, Avim Vazbez, Ayi Vazbez, Yosef Mechaymish, somebody doesn't have to spend more than 20% for his esrig. But, says Rav Chaim Brisker, when the mitzvah is spending the money, when the mitzvah is spending the money, then of course there is no rule of 20%. That is the mitzvah, to spend as much as you owe. And the same is said by opinion of Ben. Let's say, Baruch Hashem, somebody has a b'chor, and he has to make a pinyan of Ben. And the amount, the chamish shloim, that he's giving for the pinyan of Ben, equals more than 20%. Does he have to give the chamish shloim? Or can we say, he doesn't have to spend more than 20%. And if this is more than 20%, he wouldn't have to do it. Again, the answer is, since the whole, says Reb Chaim Brisker, since the whole mitzvah is doing the mitzvah with spending the money, then the rule of doesn't apply. I saw that Moshe Zatzal has a little different approach how to answer this question. He says, a mitzvah that doesn't necessarily require spending money. So the halach is that if you're going to spend money, you don't have to spend more than chaymish, more than 20%. To fulfill the mitzvah of dalam minim, you don't have to spend money. If somebody gives you an esrog as a gift, you'll perfectly be able to fulfill the mitzvah. But the mitzvah of paying off your chayv, or the mitzvah of pidyon haben, the whole mitzvah is with spending money. There we don't say, I'm a vazbez, I'm a vazbez, yosef mechaymish. But then, the paiskim ask a different question. If we're saying that paying off your debts, the reason you have to pay off your debts is because, I'm a vazbez, is because priest b'chay mitzvah, so the question is, can you use meiser money to pay off your debts? You're using it for its stock up. The Paiskim debated. Many Paiskim are of the opinion that of course not. Maisa money could only be done for mitzvahs that are Beit Adam Lamakim. This is even tzedaka that I give, which is a Beit Adam L'chaveri, but what's pushing me to give the tzedaka, what's driving me to give the tzedaka, is because Hashem told me to give the tzedaka. I don't have a personal obligation to the individual to give him tzedaka. I'm doing it because Hashem said. However, the Shar Mitzrayim Belacha quotes the Agra de Parka, the Bnei Yisoschar. He says that one can actually use Maisa money to pay off his debts. He does quote the Chasam Sofer in Yerideh Simrei Shlamet Aleph, who disagrees and says, of course, one cannot use Maisa money to pay off his personal debts. But the Agra de Parka, the Bnei Yisoschar holds that if when you designated the Maisa money, that means, he says, if you designated Maisa money and now you're in a situation where you want to pay off your debt, that Maisa money cannot be used to pay off debts. But when a person separates his Maisa money, he said explicitly that I could be able to use the Maisa money to pay off debts, then the halacha is, according to the Bnei Yisoschar, that can be done. We've learned in many times in our shurim that we've just been discussing, the halacha of Mashicha. And the halacha is that any kinyan, there are different places where a kinyan is acceptable and a kinyan is not acceptable. We spoke about the Rosh Hasharabim. We spoke about the different places where kinyan can be effective. In a Rosh Hasharabim, a kinyan is not effective. The question is, a simta, which is an area off the Rishus HaRabim, Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, the question is, in those areas, are a kinyan effective or not? That becomes the subject that we're going to discuss now. If somebody gives his wife a get, but he declares that it should not be effective until 30 days. And this woman took this get and put it down in the Rishus HaYoyim. And put it down in the Rishus HaRabim, and the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. Mahu. Is a get that's placed in the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim considered like it's in her Rishus, and the get will be a good get? Or is a get that's placed in the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim considered like it's in the Rishus HaRabim, and therefore it will not be a valid get? Tosfos learns that the Gemara is speaking about a case where he said, Me'achshav al'achas shloshim yoyim, that the divorce should start from now and continue and culminate at the end of 30 days. But if he's just said that I'm putting down the get in this place and it should only be effective at the end of 30 days, that certainly would not be a valid get. Because the get started from now where it's here, then we could talk about this case. Rashi doesn't necessarily say that's talking about Me'achshav. What are the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim? The Tzidei Rishus HaRabim is that there were walls that separated the Rishus HaYochid from the Rishus HaRabim. And the get was put down next to those walls. And typically, people don't walk next to the wall. They don't want to rub against the wall. And that's why the question is that area considered like Rishus HaRabim or not? Amalei ain't Megreshes. So the halacha is it's not Megreshes. And I learned this from what Rav and Shmuel taught us in the Shir on that Pei Dalid. The Rav, the Shmuel, the Amri Tavayu, v'hu shetzavurim menachem b'shus harabim. V'tzidir b'shus harabim k'shus harabim dami. We learned in the Gemara on that Pei Dalid a discussion where somebody has a get, where somebody died and he left assets. And the question is, can he collect those assets? And we learned in the Gemara, in that Shir, that he could collect, that if could those assets be seized? And we learned that if those assets were left in the Rishus HaRabim, then they could be seized. But if the assets were not left in the Rishus HaRabim, then, and they were left in Rishus HaYochid, they automatically become the assets of the Yarshim, and they no longer can be seized by the woman who's trying to collect the ksuba, by the bachayv who's trying to collect his debt. Says the Gemara that the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim are treated like the Rishus HaRabim. And in that Gemara, therefore they could be seized. Here they can't. Says the Gemara, Adrabba, Megureshes. I can make a point that she is the divorced. Medrav Nachman. Dom Rav Nachman, Amr Bavua. Ha'amil Chaveroi, Mishoich Parzu. Take Mishicha on this animal. However, the halacha is that's a valid kinyan. Vafilu or medes bagam, even if it's sitting in the agam. My love, and the Gemara assumes that an agam, the swamp, is treated like the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. So we see that the agam is not like Rishus HaRabim, and the Gemara is assuming so too is the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, not considered like Rishus HaRabim. Says the Gemara, that contention is not correct. Loi, agam l'chud, the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim l'chud. Each one is treated separately. The agam is treated as indeed an area which is not a Rishus HaRabim, but the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim are treated like a Rishus HaRabim. But there's a different version. Ikadamri, there's a different version of this whole discussion. Amalei, Megureshes, that they are that putting the get in the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim will be an effective get. But the Rav Nachman, from what Rav Nachman said, that you could do a kinyan and agam, and the Gemara is saying that the Gemara is assuming that Tzidei Rishus HaRabim kagam dami, and just like you could do a kinyan and the agam, you could do a kinyan and Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. To which the Gemara asks, Adrabba, Ainam Megureshes. We could prove a raya from Rav and Shmuel that said that the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim are treated like the Rishus HaRabim. My love, because aren't we going to say that Hain Rishus Rabbim Hain Tzidir Rishus Rabbim? So the Gemara loy, Rishus Rabbim L'chud, V'tzidir Rishus Rabbim L'chud. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is as follows. Everybody agrees that a Rishus Rabbim is not a place where a kinyan can be done. Everybody agrees that an agam is a place where a kinyan can be done. And the question is, how do we treat the Tzidir Rishus Rabbim? Do we treat the Tzidir Rishus Rabbim like Rishus Rabbim? Or do we treat the Tzidir Rishus Rabbim like an agam? Says the Mishnah. Moshev ishtei chanvonis. If somebody appoints his wife to work in his store, oy shemina apotropos. He appointed his wife to be the administrator of his assets. Hareza mashbiya kol shman shiyirta. He could force her at any time he wants to swear that she didn't misappropriate any money. Even the wool that he gives her to make his garments, the dough that he gives her to cook food for her, a husband could always demand that the wife should have to swear that he has to swear that she didn't misappropriate any of these funds. So ask the Gemara. Rabbi Lezer, when Rabbi Lezer says in our Mishnah, he took this very strong position that somebody could force his wife to swear under all circumstances. What does that mean? Alidei Gilgul Kamar? That means he made her an apotropos, and an apotropos. We're learning somebody could force apotropos to swear that they acted honestly. So does the Gemara mean to say when she's swearing as an apotropos, he could make her swear for all al pilcha sasa, but just to make her swear al pilcha sasa itself, one cannot make her do? Oy, l'chatchila kamar, even if she's not an apotropos, a husband can force his wife to swear according to Rabbi Elazar for anything. Tashma, amalai Rabbi Elazar. The Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Elazar, and he said that somebody could force his wife to swear, and they disagreed. Why did they disagree? Because they said, "Ain adam daram nachash b'kfifa." Somebody, it's unacceptable living that a wife should be held so responsible. Yeah, b'shlam l'chatchila shaper. So now we can understand the machlokes. Rabbi Elazar says that somebody could force his wife to swear, and the Chacham say, "How could you have a marriage that way?" Ella Yamrit, Alidei Kilgul, that even Rabbi Elazar only said is alocha. In a case where she's swearing anyway, my nafkalaminei, she's swearing anyway. Says the Gemara, the Amrlei, and they say, Kim the Dr. Basrei Kulahai. Yes, I'm swearing anyway, but I can't live this way because Loi Mitzina the Adab Adach, I can't live with that way. So we don't have an answer. What is the halacha? According to Belezer, when he makes a swear, Apilcha Isasa, what is the case? Tashma, Haresh Leipatis Ishtim and Anedim and Ashvua. If somebody wrote that he won't make his wife swear, Vashiva Chanvanis, and then he appointed her to be a storekeeper, or Shemina and Apotropia, or he appointed her to run, be administrator of his funds, Haresh Mizbiya Kozman Shiyutza. Lawyers, Loy Yeshiva Chanvanis, Veloinim Apotropia, any Yochel Ashbia. But if she wasn't appointed to any of these positions, he can't make a swear. Rabbi Elazar, Ma'apish Loy Yeshiva Chanvanis, Veloinim Apotropia, Harezim Ashbia Kozman Shiritza. Because Shein Lucha Isha, because Rabbi Elazar explains his reasoning. Shein Lucha Isha Loy Nasa Apotropia Sho'achs B'chai Bala Apicha V'sasa. Every wife is really an apotropos, because the husband inevitably gives his wife something to be responsible for. And the Racham disagree that's not an acceptable way to live, because ein adam dar im nafesh b'kvifa. You can't force a wife to live with you that way, she can always be held responsible. Shema mina, that Rabbi Elazar's opinion is that even if she wasn't appointed an apotropos, she's always treated like she was appointed as an apotropos, and he can make a swear l'chatchila without, even if he's not making a swear as an apotropos. Shema mina. Tosfos quotes a Yerushalmi that a husband can't hold his wife responsible for any household damages, broken dishes, even if they resulted from negligence, because again, that would be disruptive to Shalom Bayis. The Rambam, when he quotes this halacha, says that if a wife would be held so responsible for anything that she does in her home, it would be disruptive. No home could, there would never be shalom bayis. And therefore, says the Rambam, the wife is not held responsible for such situations. According to the Rambam, this exemption is limited to damage only in cases when she was doing her household chores and something broke. But if she wasn't involved in household chores, according to Rambam, she would be held responsible. The Chelkas Mechaikik says differently. The Chelkas Mechaikik says that a wife is exempt from all damages, even those that occur when she wasn't doing her household duties. Again, the Chelkas Mechaikik says that if a husband's going to treat his wife that way, there will never be any shalom bayis in the home. The Ravid has a different approach. He says that every woman is considered like a shomer. And since a woman is considered as a shomer, and there's a halacha by shomer, a baal of imoy, that if the owner is there, then even if there were damages, the shomer is not held responsible. And therefore, he says, the wife relationship to a husband, says the Ravid, is a relationship of a shomer as baal of imoy. And since it's considered a relationship of a shomer with Bala Imov, the halacha is that it's not she will not be held responsible. I saw that the Sefer Moreh Nayim uses this Gemara of Ein Adam Dor and Nachash B'Kfifa Achas because the tzaddik wants to do what's right, but what prevents him from doing what's right are the Rishoyim. Ein Adam Dorim Nachsh B'Kvifa Achas. As long as there's Rishoyim in the world, then Tzadikim have a very difficult time accomplishing what they need to do in this world because the Rishoyim in the world are those that are preventing them from doing what they have to do.